Inspired Parenting Radio Show with host Sandy Sedgebeer, where our mission is to inspire conscious parents, families, and educators by bringing you the latest research and thinking on supporting today's highly evolved children to fulfill their potential as healthy, confident, resourceful, and emotionally intelligent individuals.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgebeer, and you're listening to the Inspired Parenting Radio Show. As parents, we all want to be inspired, conscious, patient, and supportive. But while most of us can be some of these things some of the time, it's getting harder and harder to be all of these things all of the time. The fact is, more parents are feeling exhausted and disconnected from their kids than ever before. Why? Parenting today really isn't the same as it was for our parents and grandparents. We live in a different time and in a vastly different society, where the expectations, stresses, and distractions for both parents and children are greater than they've ever been. Which is why today's show is going to be focusing on practical solutions to ending conflict at home, as well as tips, tools, and strategies to discipline consciously, communicate effectively, and transform your relationship with your children and yourself forever. My guest is spiritual teacher and expert in the field of human transformation, Susie Lula, MA. Susie is redefining motherhood as an evolutionary path. She combines her innovative teachings over 18 years in private practice, along with her master's degree training in spiritual psychology, to help women transform the way they think about motherhood. Susie's unique approach has led to an appearance on the Today Show with Michael Bernard Beckwith, talking about spirituality and the family, as well as an upcoming appearance alongside Dr. Shefali, author of The Conscious Parent, and Neil Donald Walsh, this December 2015 at the first Conscious Parenting Intensive to be held in Los Angeles, December the 4th to the 6th. Susie Lula, welcome to the Inspired Parenting Show.
Thank you so much, Sandy. I am so happy and honored to be with you. I love what you're doing and the mission behind Inspired Parenting. Thank you.
Susie, you say that many mothers mistakenly feel that they must sacrifice and martyr themselves to be good mothers. And in the process, they forget that one of the best things they can do for their children is take care of themselves first. Mm-hmm. Say more about this.
Thank you. Yes, I believe that this idea is actually the first motherhood myth. It's a myth for us to think that there are no greater givers, I believe, than are the great givers. There's no one that loves their children more or wants more for their children. And yet, we as mothers can sometimes buy into this what I call an outdated idea that to be a good mother and the best mother we can be means to put ourselves last on the list, to put our children first, to put our children before us. And what I find in my practice is that mothers more than ever are seeking to parent in a more conscious way, in a more inspired way, to use your beautiful adjective, and yet they're trying to do so from an empty tank. And so I have found and researched over time that actually when we take care of ourselves first, we are overflowing in our own sense of good and abundance and joy, and our own life is flourishing, that we can actually then be the parent that we're seeking to be.
Susie, we're having a little bit of interference on your line. I don't know why. I don't know whether there's anything you can do your end, whether it's a phone that you can actually change a channel on or not. But we are occasionally missing some of your words. And we don't want to miss anything that you're saying.
Thank you. I'm changing a channel now. I'm hearing you perfectly, though. So that's interesting.
That is very interesting, yeah, because, and I don't know whether our listeners are hearing you in the same way that I am, but let's keep going for a bit and see whether it just sorts itself out. If it doesn't, we may have to call you back. Let me ask you this. Why do you regard motherhood as an evolutionary path?
I have come to know that tethering is a path of personal development. I think that anyone out there recognizes that we find places within ourselves, and we come to know places within ourselves. Places within ourselves get triggered and activated and enlivened in ways that we perhaps haven't known before we have children. And so our opportunity is to evolve. We're always evolving. And then I guess the question is, can we most evolve consciously? And so mothering can be, to me, the deepest spiritual path, the path of personal awakening like no other.
Well, I totally agree with you. You wrote that mothers are gifted the most profound spiritual relationship when meeting their child for the first time, and often lose that spiritual connection when moving into the doing phase of caring for children, leaving them ultimately feeling disconnected, disheartened, and alone. Why do you think that happens?
You know, it gives me chills to hear you say that, and for any of your listeners who are mothers, to just take a moment and think back to that moment when you first met your child, or any moment when you're looking into your child's eyes and can see their innocence and their authentic essence and being such purity like no other relationship. And then I think through our cultural training and our cultural messages in our culture, we are given such accolades for the doing. And this spiritual connection that we feel so real and richly with our children is a being connection. And it surpasses that doing. But in our culture, we acknowledge the doing and the accomplishing. And so we can get sidetracked and move into, you know, the simplest things of changing the diapers and doing the laundry and getting dinner on the table and keeping the house clean and all of the doing that does in fact go, and children do need to be tended for, but we're tended to, but we can put that priority and forget about this being, this essence, this connection, and what our children really long for above all else is that connection, to know that we see them and that they matter.
Do you know, that's a really important point. You know, I'm just thinking back, you know, that moment when we have that baby is so full of promise and connection. And you're right, the doing, you know, the drudgery of day-to-day life in order to take care of things. And I find too that when the kids start leaving home, going to kindergarten, going to school, there are so many outside influences, you know, and stresses, and we also have to deal with that, you know, be talking to them so that we're helping them find their guidance through those paths. It's a shame that that has to happen. What can we do, you know, to remind ourselves that the drudgery isn't everything?
I think it's one of the reasons I love the name of your show, Inspired Parenting, because when we begin to give ourselves permission, and this is a courageous act with most of the mothers I work with, to give ourselves permission to nourish our own spirit first, then what happens is that we move outside of time. So if I give myself permission for something as simple as to take an extra cup of tea in the morning or have a moment with a girlfriend before I do the dishes or whatever it is that will truly nourish my spirit, then it keeps me connected to a presence that is greater than the drudgery of my own life. And then when I'm connected to that larger, greater, inexhaustible presence, then I bring that joy back into the drudgery, so to speak, and it transforms and it transcends that to where the same, you know, we're going, all moms are doing the same routines. We're all doing the dishes. We're all doing the laundry. We're all scurrying about. But two different people can be doing the same action from two different places in consciousness. And so when we take the time to nourish our own spirit, then we show up to those activities and actions differently. That has been my experience working with people.
Mm. So you founded the Motherhood Evolution, an organization whose, you know, strapline is thriving mothers raising thriving children. What prompted you to become an advocate for mothers?
Because hour after hour, day after day, my clients, I would find over and over again that these, mostly women, but certainly fathers as well, are seeking to do this most important work, and they take it obviously to heart. It is our children, and we know that our children are our future, and we see these pure beings coming in, and they are enlightened when they come in, and yet we are the ones that can be disheartened, exhausted, feeling deprived, feeling like islands, feeling disconnected, alone. And then on top of it, when I had my own son, you know, and I had been on my own spiritual path for quite a long time, and I thought, you know, I thought I would probably have this parenting thing down, and I realized, you know, this is more challenging to have the courage to do this transformational work. We need to give ourselves permission to have be on a full tank. And I just became passionate. I have a vision of seeing a world of mothers connected in community, a global community, all of us thriving, that we may have this overflow to give to our children.
That's a beautiful vision. And you know what? That is entirely possible.
Isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Isn't it just? We just have to accept that it is. You're listening to the Inspired Parenting Radio Show. I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, and I'm speaking with spiritual teacher and transformational expert, Susie Lula, who's helping mums transform their ideas about motherhood. After the break, Susie will talk some more about why mothers are the untapped spiritual powerhouse on the planet. We'll be back in a few moments. Don't go away.
This is OTRFM, part of the iOM Radio Network.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times. Co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Hi, I'm Dr. Shefali, the author of The Conscious Parent. Every parent I know wants to become more conscious and present in their relationship with their children. If you are a parent who wants to transform their relationship with their children, then you are going to want to come to this wonderful, transformational, intensive weekend I have put together in Long Beach, California on December 4th through the 6th. Hop onto my website at drshefali.com and find all the information to register there. Hope to see you there. It's going to be a phenomenal weekend.
The name is Bond. James Bond.
No, the name is Joe. The Joe Show. And we are returning back for our ninth season here on OM Times Radio. So tune in every Wednesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, on omtimes.com/mobile. You can take us wherever you go.
Yeah!
Matt Connerton here. Join Jen Coffey and I twice a week for Matt Connerton Unleashed, a political talk show that's a little different than what you're used to. No liberal or conservative agenda here, just an honest dialogue about truth and how things really work in the world of politics. Matt Connerton Unleashed, every Tuesday and Thursday night at 11 p.m. Eastern on OM Times Radio.
You're listening to OTRFM, part of the iOM Radio Network.
I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, and I'm speaking with spiritual and transformational teacher Susie Lula about transforming our ideas about motherhood. Susie, you write that mothers are the spiritual heart of the family, the heart of the world, and an untapped spiritual powerhouse on the planet. Why is it that so many moms have trouble believing that?
What a wonderful, wonderful question. I believe that we are trained culturally away from our intuition, our inner wisdom, our inner guidance. So when you think of just the general population, we aren't brought up necessarily to rely upon that inner power to begin with. And yet, when we have our children, mothers know, every mother I speak to, there is that moment, there is that connection that brings out the fierceness of a mother. You know, when we have our children, all of our values change and we begin to see the future and the legacy that we're going to be leaving for our children and what world our children are going to be stepping up into. And that connection that we feel with our child, for our child, is absolutely, it's unparalleled. It is outside and beyond any other relationship. And so there is a power there. When, as you said earlier, when we meet our children, there's a hope there. There is a hope and a vision that is infinite, that is really the potential. We all feel it. It's undeniable. And so if we as mothers can join together in our collective consciousness, in our collective agreement, to say that this moment, we've all felt it, it's visceral, we all know it, and if we can join together in community to work it like a muscle, just like you would go to the gym and work a muscle, then I believe this spiritual power that then goes, sometimes can go latent, we will be encouraging ourselves and each other to, through our collective agreement, really bring that as a force to be reckoned with on this planet. You know, I think we haven't been trained as mothers to value ourselves, and we need not wait for the world to value us. We can step into this and say we are doing the most important work on the planet right now, certainly amongst the most important work to be done right now.
Isn't it interesting? I mean, there are so many different attitudes to mothers and motherhood. I mean, how many people do we know who, regardless, you know, even at the age of 60 or 70, can still feel fear? You know, mum's going to tell me off. I'm a bit afraid of that.
Exactly.
It occurred to me the other day, you know, watching these awful scenes unfold of Paris. I wonder what would happen if the mums of terrorists got hold of their kids and shook them and said, what do you think you're doing? You know, what would they do?
It's fascinating that you happen to use that example, because as I've been sitting with, you know, all of these events happening, my heart often goes out to the mothers of these terrorists, because I do believe, oh my goodness, could you imagine being a mom and feeling that, that those were some of the choices that your children have made? And I really believe this is why I am so passionate about this, because could you imagine 20 of us mothers from around the world getting together, and then 200 of us mothers getting together from around the world, and then 2,000, and then 20,000, to have these conversations that say war no more. I believe there is no stronger advocate for peace than mothers.
Oh, I agree with you. And I don't know, you may not remember this, you may be too young, different culture as well, but probably somewhere back in the 80s, I would suggest, when the troubles in England, between England and Ireland, were at their height, and the IRA, and it was two women, two mothers, who stood up and said, we've had enough. And they didn't exactly stop what was going on, but they did get a lot of press coverage. They won the Nobel Peace Prize, and they were able to be very influential in getting the dialogue going about the peace.
I so honor you for highlighting these women, because I feel that myself, being a woman in America, you know, we have all of the anything we could ask for, the wealth here, whatnot. And I believe that as women who are given so much. It's part of what I believe is my responsibility and my mandate that I can give back to these women who have stood up before me and said no more, no more. And I think I can't be the only one, you know. And if we all join together, could you imagine if those women exponentially expanded to be 200,000 of us mothers saying thank you? The best way I think we can say thank you to them is to take up that mantle and run with it, you know.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's so interesting that we're having this conversation this week, because just last week I watched the movie Suffragette. And it's a very powerful movie. And of course, it, you know, what made it even more meaningful for me was that it was set right in the place in London, in a poor part of London where I grew up. I recognized every one of those streets and houses. And the thing about it is that, you know, the mothers then, the women then, were so disenfranchised. They had been trying since 1850. To get the vote. And this movie is set somewhere around, I don't know, the early 1900s, 1910, 15, something like that. And one mother lost her job and lost her child because of her, you know, adherence to wanting women to have the vote. And she was reviled and looked down upon. Basic human rights were taken away from them. Something like 20,000 of them, I think it was, were, you know, imprisoned and force-fed. And at the end of the movie, they have this thing scrolling where they talk about the vote for women in England, 1927. In America, which was a little bit of ahead of England, 1920. And then it goes through various countries until it gets to Switzerland, would you believe, very, very late in the last century. And then it says Saudi Arabia, still waiting. Now, I think that those women who put themselves in chains, who endured being imprisoned and force-fed so that we could have the right, you know, the basic human right of equality and vote. This is something every woman needs to understand, needs to see that movie so they understand the power that they have now.
Exactly. And you're speaking my language, because at that time and in times past and even in countries today, there are women that and mothers who need to, that are deprived, that need to martyr themselves for different reasons because they've been disempowered, disenfranchised. And this is my passion, because today in our life, we do not need to keep this martyrdom going just because it was a thing of the past and we are still buying into it. You know, I have this, I say it's a joke, but really, rarely a day goes by that a mother doesn't say to me either they feel guilty for taking care of themselves or they feel guilty for not taking care of themselves. And I think it is time for us as mothers to let go of this collective guilt and martyrdom that we have bought into that is not necessary anymore, and to say, you know, of course we're not going to take care of ourselves and then do nothing to assist our children. It is actually those who are, have the most vitality and the most sense of well-being that are then able to jump up first to really assist others. So the better we take care of ourselves, not only are we offering all these mothers that came before us, but we're actually, because I think that now mothers think erroneously that I'm depriving myself or putting myself last on the list for the sake of my child. But this is not necessary anymore. We can put ourselves in a position to flourish, because that is the best modeling we can give to our children and the best way that we can honor these mothers that came before us. So I love what you're saying.
Oh, yeah. You know, I have to mention something that you have on your website, because it's so germane to the conversation. You write that the motherhood evolution provides transformational tools for mothers everywhere to thrive and evolve our collective culture's vision of what motherhood can be, bringing into fruition the Dalai Lama's prophecy that the world will be changed by the Western woman. Here's something that I think people don't think about. And that is, you know, I've heard, and I have no idea how true this is, but I've heard that many, many people who feel disenfranchised, like many of the people in the Middle East who now feel that they've got a grudge against the Western world, a lot of it is because they've felt powerless over the years. They have felt powerless. If women are not standing in their power and taking care of themselves and modeling that to their children are going to feel powerless.
Exactly correct. Yeah. Bingo. Exactly why I'm so passionate about this. And when the Dalai Lama says this, you know, this is our mandate to empower ourselves from the inside out and then to be absolutely committed to modeling this to our children. I also liken it to being a philanthropist. You know, a philanthropist has this excess of good and generosity that they just love giving. And we mothers can do the same, modeling this to our children to literally change the world.
It's a duty, isn't it? I mean, if you can't do it for yourselves, understand you have to do it for your child.
Exactly correct.
Yeah, I was having this conversation with my daughter who's been very stressed lately. And I said, how much are you putting yourself first?
She's my favorite kind of person to talk to because, like I said, it's really not for the faint of heart. It's very courageous acts to prove out to ourselves that by taking these small steps every day, we truly are being of service to our children. It does take courage. I really empathize with her.
You're listening to the Inspired Parenting Radio Show. I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, and I'm speaking with transformational and spiritual teacher Susie Lula about evolving our vision of what motherhood can be and what mothers can bring about for the world. After the break, we'll talk a little bit more about some of the transformational tools that Susie offers to mums in her teleseminar series. We'll be back in about 3 minutes. Stay tuned.
This is OTR-FM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
Have you ever wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free today at ascendinghearts.com. And change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
Hi, I'm Dr. Shefali, the author of The Conscious Parent. Every parent I know wants to become more conscious and present in their relationship with their children. If you are a parent who wants to transform their relationship with their children, then you are going to want to come to this wonderful, transformational, intensive weekend I have put together in Long Beach, California, on December 4th through the 6th. Hop onto my website at drshefali.com and find all the information to register there. Hope to see you there. It's going to be a phenomenal weekend.
Hi, this is Angela Levesque, host of Entanglement Radio. Join me Wednesdays at 12 p.m. Eastern for inspiring conversations with visionaries in spiritual science and conscious healing. Entanglement Radio, Wednesdays at 12 p.m. Eastern. Transcendent talk for the conscious mind.
Hello, I'm Miriam Knight of New Consciousness Review, inviting you to my new show where I interview the rising stars of the conscious awakening. We'll explore the many faces of consciousness in action and intriguing perspectives on life, the universe, and everything in between. Join us each Wednesday at 2 p.m. Eastern on the Rising Stars Show.
This is OTR-FM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
I'm back. You're listening to the Inspired Parenting Show. and I'm speaking with transformational and spiritual teacher Susie Lula about transforming our ideas about motherhood and how you can reduce stress and disharmony in your family life by learning how to put yourself first. Susie, I'm going to quote another piece from your website. You've got some great stuff there. You wrote that in her most recent book, The Law of Divine Compensation on Work, Money and Miracles, Marianne Williamson recounts that when asked to define genius, Buckminster Fuller responded, someone who had the right mother. Say more about that.
I just love that quote because I think for each of us as mothers, we are yearning and we have high intention to be the mother that our child needs us to be. And I think that very few of us have been taught or given the permission or even think about the possibility of creating our own vision of the mother that we are here to be. So, you know, there's that saying, without vision, the people perish. So to give ourselves this permission to become still and ask ourselves, you know, what are the qualities of mother that I am here to anchor in my family? What is my, what is the highest vision of motherhood that I can hold? Because when we start with that intention and when with that vision and when we actually have a vision, then we naturally become the, quote, right mother for our child and allow that child to simply flourish and blossom and be the child that they came here to be, which is what, you know, he was alluding to.
Yeah. And you've also got something about the spiritual teacher, Amma, you know, the hugging saint, that friends of mine in England have just been hugging her this week. And she states that the forthcoming age should be dedicated to awakening universal motherhood. This is crucially important. The future of humanity lies in the hands of women. Women everywhere have to actualize the qualities of motherhood within themselves. This is the only way to realize our dream of peace and harmony in the world and to further progress in life. Now, you offer a tele-seminar series for mums on mothering the mother within you. What does that entail?
So I love her quote where she says, actualize the mother within us. And I think of your daughter and what you just shared. You know, so in my classes, I am providing a spaciousness and a space for mothers to sometimes re-mother themselves, re-parent themselves. Many of us have places that are still tender or fragile or vulnerable or hurting or, you know, angry or disconnected from our own childhood. So first and foremost, we create, as I was speaking earlier, we create each individually a vision for ourselves of the high calling of motherhood that we, you know, that we are each called for. And then we take the time to connect with these tender, vulnerable places inside of us, because it's very challenging to be in relationship with our child when there are still places inside of each one of us that are hurting. And what I find is that when we really take the time to nourish our spirit, not only on the spiritual level, but on the emotional level, and we become, you mentioned it earlier today, this idea of emotional equanimity and emotional intelligence. We're all wanting our children to learn to be emotionally intelligent. And it starts within us to learn how to connect with the places inside of us that may feel stressed, that may feel dark, that may feel depressed, that may feel angry or rageful or just simply sad or exhausted. In our culture, we aren't really taught how to nurture and nourish these places within ourselves. And I find that when we take the time to learn how to do this, especially in community, this is one of the ways that our children end up benefiting, because we have more equanimity in our home. And it becomes less about our relationship with our child and more about with our relationship inside of ourselves. So those are just a couple of the things we do. Go ahead.
I was going to say, what tools and strategies do you offer? Because, you know, it is hard to change patterns. And we need to, we need to know that we've got some work here to do.
Yes. And again, it's not always easy work. So one of the things that I do, I call it the mountaintop, the process I call the mountaintop. And really what I do is I take mothers to the top of a mountain where they're looking down at themselves, their a moment, let's say, with their child. Maybe it's looking down at their current life. Depends on, it's always different. But the idea is I take them to the mountaintop, just like if you're taking off on a plane. As you get higher, your perception changes. So when you're at 30,000 feet elevation, the altitude, the simple altitude, allows you to see the situation differently. So I find that when I can get a mom up on top of the mountain, it is much easier for her to access her own inner compassion. Because I find, I don't know about you, but I find mothers can be so hard on ourselves. We have such high expectations of ourselves, and there can be so much judgment and shame about our life, what kind of job we're doing as a mother. We compare all of these different things. And so when we come up to the mountaintop, we can engage with our own compassion. And from this higher altitude, to go down and nourish and nurture these places inside of us that are hurting, allows these places to transform. And then you find that the places that perhaps, were hurting last month or last year or 2 years ago, you find, I'm coming in to the same situation, but I myself have changed. There's a quote, a Nelson Mandela quote, and this was his definition of transformation: to come into the same situation, but he himself showing up differently to that situation. This is our goal as mothers, yes?
Yes, very interesting, that one, yeah. Mm-hmm. So parenting from wholeness instead of your wounds, how do you work with that one?
Well, exactly what we were saying. So as I first and foremost learn that my wounds, I call them, these emotions inside of us, I call them messengers. So they are simply here to provide messages for me about myself. And when I hear the message and I can implement the message, then I come into my own inner alignment, my own inner wholeness. So when you think of an emotion, maybe you, like you said, your daughter was feeling stressed. So if I'm feeling stressed, and I look at it like a messenger, it's similar to a child. So maybe my son comes to me and, he's pulling on my skirt and he wants my attention. If I give him my attention early on, he's soothed and he's subsided. But if I don't give him my attention, then actually he becomes more and more frantic and more energized. So we typically turn away from our emotions, and especially the places inside of us that have felt wounded or hurting, we're taught to turn away from them. And I have the opposite philosophy. I say, tend to your emotions like you would a hurting child. Thich Nhat Hanh talks a lot about this. So when I look at my own hurting places inside, like I would look if my son was hurting, my son had come home and he was upset, and I can meet him in that way, then I come into an inner alignment, which then allows me to parent from my wholeness. So again, it really has very little to do with my interaction with my child. It has more to do with taking the time to have these healthy interactions within myself. Does that make sense?
It does. I want to go back to the beginning. In my introduction, I talked about, you know, family relationships, the stresses, the strains, etc., and the kids not necessarily giving the parents what they want. Do you think that that is happening more these days as a result of the fact that so many mothers are conflicted and don't take care of themselves?
I absolutely do. I unequivocally, absolutely. I have what I call the 21-day Uber Care Challenge, and over and over and over again, I have seen mothers prove out to themselves when they nourish their own spirit first, which again, I just have to, you know, say that it's not necessarily easy. We've been trained away from this, but I guarantee you unequivocally that when we take care of our own spirit first, we become so centered inside of ourselves. We become so reconnected to that spiritual power that I was speaking of earlier, that our children can feel that. Because, you know, there's the Maya Angelou quote, our children might not remember what we said, but they'll certainly remember how we made them feel. It's the energy underneath that we are carrying that our children respond to and react against. And so when my inner energy is connected to something that is greater than myself and I am at peace and I am inspired, our children feel that. And a lot of the power struggles and the stresses, it literally magically falls away. I prove this out to people every single day.
You're right. You're listening to the Inspired Parenting Radio Show. I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, and I'm speaking with transformational and spiritual teacher Susie Lula about deconstructing our ideas about motherhood and reclaiming our power to influence the future for our children and for the world. After the break, Susie will tell us about the upcoming Deconstructing Parenthood, The Conscious Way seminar that she'll be presenting at, alongside best-selling authors Neil Donald Walsh and Dr. Shefali, in a couple of weeks' time. We'll be back in a few moments. Stay tuned.
You're listening to OTR FM, part of the iOM Radio Network.
Are you trying to get from point A to point B and need a little advice? Connect with the counselors at OM Times Advisors. Whether you're looking for a life coach or a spiritual intuitive, the advisors participating at advisors.omtimes.com were carefully chosen based on their gifts, skills, and professionalism. OM Times Advisors. Connecting you with the best advisors in the business.
Hi, I'm Dr. Shefali, the author of The Conscious Parent. Every parent I know wants to become more conscious and present in their relationship with their children. If you are a parent who wants to transform their relationship with their children, then you are going to want to come to this wonderful transformational intensive weekend I have put together in Long Beach, California on December 4th through the 6th. Hop onto my website at drshefali.com and find all the information to register there. Hope to see you there. It's going to be a phenomenal weekend.
This is Terry Van Horn, and I want to invite you to join me for my weekly radio show, Healing Light, on OM Times Radio every Wednesday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. On Healing Light, we want to bring love, light, and blessings into your world. You can find out more about us at www.healinglightonline.com. Blessings.
Do you have time to read that inspiring book or that blog post you've been meaning to get to? In your busy world, how do you improve yourself and keep your life going? I'm Lisa Kay, and my Between Heaven and Earth radio show can transform your life. just by listening. Be uplifted with inspiring topics, positive stories, and ideas that really work. Between Heaven and Earth Radio is Conscious Living for Your Soul, every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time.
This is OTR-FM, part of the iOM Radio Network.
Welcome back. I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, and you're listening to the Inspired Parenting Show. And I'm talking with transformational and spiritual teacher Susie Lula about deconstructing our ideas about parenthood and reclaiming our power as mothers. Susie, you're presenting at the Deconstructing Parenthood the Conscious Way seminar in Los Angeles in a couple of weeks' time, alongside best-selling authors Dr. Shefali and Neil Donald Walsh. Tell us about the event.
Well, I am so thrilled, first of all, and honored to be speaking alongside of these teachers that I so respect. And I'm so thankful and grateful to Dr. Shefali because it is her baby. She had the idea and the inspiration to bring together parents from everywhere on the West Coast to join together and learn from each other. And I think, you know, it's so inspiring to learn in a community with like-minded individuals. So this is going to be a weekend dedicated to becoming more of the parent that we want to be, that we know is within us. And it's going to be learning from these experts and learning from each other. So I'm very, very happy to be a part of it and so grateful that she has created this as such a wealth of opportunity for so many people.
Do you have any idea what the other speakers will be talking about?
Well, I do know that Neil Donald Walsh has just come out with another book in his Conversations with God series, and this one is called Conversations with God for Parents. And he co-wrote this with Lori Larkin, and they will both be presenting. And so I know he will be presenting on this, his new book, and Dr. Shefali will be speaking about her book. She has both The Conscious Parent and Out of Control. Both are phenomenal books. And Susan Stiffelman will be there speaking on Parenting with Presence is her new book. So most of the speakers there will be speaking on their own book, answering questions. There will be panels, lots of time for discussion and asking questions.
What will you be talking about?
So I am going to be speaking on Sunday, and I love my space because it's just before the closing, which I will do with Dr. Shefali. But my part will be anchoring the weekend and then a send-off for everyone, which is really speaking my language because when we all go back into our world, we're going to be going back into the same, you know, as we spoke earlier, doing the dishes, doing the laundry, our children's, their grades, what school they're going to, their friendships, you know. And so I am going to be anchoring through some very specific processes and guided practices to anchor both what everyone has learned from the weekend and then send them off with this challenge to put themselves first and prove out to themselves that it's just like in finance books. You know, it doesn't matter what finance book you pick up. It doesn't matter what philosophy of finance you follow. But every finance book talks about the importance of paying yourself first. And they talk about the research that's been done. Those who pay themselves first never get to the end of the month and run out of money for food or mortgage or rent. But those who say they're going to pay themselves after they pay the bills rarely end up saving. So I'm going to be really speaking to people about very specific ways that they can go back into their life and put themselves first, that they are not trying to pour or parent from an empty cup, that they're filling their own cup first. And I mean very specific ways. So I'm not talking about, you know, massages. I'm talking about those deep activities that nourish a spirit and connect us to a life and a power and a presence that is greater than our own life, that we're almost like channels. We're almost instruments of parenting. So we're going to be speaking about, I would say, nourishing our spirit in very specific ways.
Now, you have a master's in spiritual psychology. Mm-hmm. You are a spiritual teacher as well as a transformational teacher. When you're doing the mother yourself teleseminars, mm-hmm. do you incorporate a lot of your spiritual training into that?
Absolutely. And what I love about those classes are that, you know, everyone, they're very participatory. So even though they're over a telephone, you know, there's always times for people to ask questions. And I find that what we all have in common as mothers is that we are all seeking this spiritual connection. We may not all call it or language it or articulate it like a spiritual longing or a spiritually hungry. We might articulate it differently, but I find that to the mother, to the person, we are all seeking this spiritual connection because having a child and being a mother is such a spiritual experience. And so on my teleclasses, one of the most beautiful things is that it assists mothers in reconnecting to these spiritual principles and universal truths that we all knew that we knew that we knew when we were children, before we might have gotten trained away, because we're all born with this wisdom. We're all born with this knowing. So it's thrilling to me to watch mothers become empowered and reconnect to these spiritual principles and universal truths that are alive within all of us.
Do you use meditation as a tool?
Absolutely. And I speak to mothers specifically because mothers can be so sleep deprived, because mothers can have such a different lifestyle than, say, a working woman or a man. We need to create meditation practices that work specifically for us as mothers. So I talk a lot about that, about letting go of the ways that we think a meditation practice should look, and create meditation practices that work for us as mothers. And a lot of that is helping a mom to recognize that it doesn't need to look like sitting in a chair for 20 minutes in the silence. That probably isn't going to happen for most moms. And so to find our own way, you know, a mom may be meditating. I know I did when my son was young, he was just crawling all over me. And I used that as part of my meditation practice to stay centered and focused. I'd give him a hug, you know, and then he'd go off and play, and then he'd come back. And now meditation is just such a natural extension of his life. It's, you know, it's like his right arm, you know. But we mothers have to give ourselves permission and, again, tap into our own inner authority that says we can meditate in ways that look differently and look the way we need them to look to get the, you know, the results that we're looking for.
Susie, before we bring the show to a close, if you could say one thing to mothers, what would it be?
I know this might sound so silly. I would say, lower your motherhood bar. Throw out that question of trying to be a good mother, because we all want to be good mothers. I would say lower the bar and really nourish yourself. Connect with another mother, you know, feed each other, and have less expectations on yourself and celebrate yourself more. I just had a client, I don't know if we have time, I'll say this quickly, a client who I always have my clients go through acknowledgments and appreciations of herself, and her appreciation of herself yesterday was, I appreciate myself because I'm a single mom. And to take the time to simply appreciate yourself will bring exponential energy, vitality, joy into your life. Don't say lower the bar. How's that?
I love that. Lower the bar.
Lower the motherhood bar.
Yes, come on. We don't have to be perfect. Let's stop talking about raising the bar all the time. Let's start lowering it.
Lowering the bar. We're doing wonderfully. We're doing great. If we would lower the bar on ourselves, we would have more time to celebrate ourselves and celebrate our children. You know, I keep thinking of your daughter now that you, you know, my heart's there. And it's like, I bet if she did nothing else this week, besides lower the bar, she's probably has so high expectations of herself that she lowers the bar and really puts her hand on her own heart and appreciates herself. And any mom out there listening right now, put your hand on your heart and close your eyes and appreciate yourself for something. Do more for you than anything.
Good advice. I'm going to text that to her. You lower the bar. This is your mother talking.
Exactly. And then you have to tell me how she responds.
I certainly will. Finally, Susie, where can people find out more about the Deconstructing Parenthood event and more about you?
Please go to Dr. Shefali. It's www.dr, then Shefali, S-H-A-F-A-L-I. DrShefali.com. It's right there when you tap on her website. Or you can go to my website, www.SusieLula.com, and you'll see it right there as well.
Susie Lula, it's been a joy speaking with you. I appreciate you.
Oh, ditto right back at you. Thank you so much for having me, Sandy. Big hug.
Thanks, Susie. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
If you enjoyed this show and you're a parent, and you're eager to learn how to deal with all the trying moments when a toddler or teen is having an emotional meltdown, or you're looking for effective ways to discipline and guide children you love, check out inspiredparenting.com. It's the place to find everything you want to know about parenting consciously. I'm Sandy Sedgbeer. Thanks for being with me today. I look forward to being with you at the same time next week. Until then,